Well, it's good to see everyone this morning. Happy Easter. It's great to have you. Let me dispense with some formalities here because I know we've got visitors with us in the house this morning, and that's great. My name is Gary Spell. I'm the senior pastor of Tapestry Church, and Tapestry is just a fledgling little church. We just started having services about 6 months ago this past October. It was probably just 16 or 17 months ago that we began even just sensing the Lord moving in this direction. And so I'm not sure, you're probably here because somebody invited you. We're not doing any advertising or anything like that. We're not trying to build a huge church at this point. But the main thing you need to know is that we are not the Seventh-day Adventist Church of Virginia Beach. We rent their building. And by the way, I would love to be a part of the Seventh-day Adventist Church of Virginia Beach. It's an awesome church. They certainly have been hospitable to us. We rent their building because Adventists observe Sabbath on Saturday, so they have their services on Saturday, which meant that their building isn't used on Sunday, so they let us rent it. And that's a real blessing for us because they have rooms for the kids and a fellowship hall, and it's just been such a blessing from the Lord. But that's who we are, and my name is Gary. My wife was leading worship. Her name is Jennifer. And she's probably checking on the kids, making sure everything's okay. But anyway, it's nice to have you guys with us, and we're really grateful that you're here. All right, I've been looking forward to today for the longest time. You know, when we came to Virginia Beach Seventh Day, we were looking for a facility to rent. What we found was so much more. These folks have become family to us. We love this body of believers, and their pastor has become the brother I just hadn't met yet. And I was telling the first service, I know, I get heavy-hearted to think of this, but I know a day will come when we won't be here anymore. We knew coming that this was a temporary arrangement. But I also know this, when the day comes that we leave here, this relationship will stay intact. We just feel connected to you guys. We love you very much. It's a bit of a revelation, isn't it, that though people worship very differently, the DNA is exactly the same. It's exactly the same. When I come and worship with them, our family has been here two or three times on their Sabbath services, it's every bit as moving and spirit-filled as any one of our services. It's the same. It's the same, Lord. It's the same. And I think we are all just marveling at the sameness of this and how unified the Lord is and what a privilege it is for us to be connected with them. And this guy can throw down the Word of God. So I've been really looking forward to this. So now here's my question for you. If the Lord speaks to you this morning, will you be obedient? Are we going to listen this morning with a view to obey? Let's not bother God with revelation if we're not going to use it. Are we going to respond in obedience so you're ready to receive the word of the Lord this morning? Then would you join me in welcoming to his pulpit, Pastor Jorge Quintana. Love you, buddy.
I think I'm gonna bring my membership to this church. Because in my church, they don't give me a standard ovation. I probably need to address that issue. I think the only one that deserves the standing ovation today is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can we stand for him? Pastor Gary, you know, we worship on Sabbath, you guys worship on Sunday. I need to find out a church that worship on Monday, on Tuesday, and Wednesday. That way we can have this building open. I want to speak to you for a few moments, and I will try to behave myself and not be like Pharaoh. You know what was the problem with Pharaoh, Pastor? That he did not let his people go, Israel go. I will try to behave. My wife in the early morning service was watching me, and I apologize if I went over. But I want to talk to you for a few moments about the hope of the resurrection. You know, my wife and I had the privilege to go to travel different places, but one of the unique places that we traveled was to Egypt. And even though the places over there is really, you are like in the third world country, so to speak, we visited one of the most amazing places that I will treasure. And it is called the Road of the Kings. This place is where all the kings are buried. If you ever go to Egypt, please do not miss that place. I remember visiting there, and we went to see Giza's tomb. What an astonishing place. All decorated. I did not know this, but did you know that when a king died, the tomb had to be big enough to accommodate every single thing they had in their tomb? It's not a small room. And I remember visiting different places. I remember visiting one of the most astonishing place was Ramses II. Man, oh man, when I got there, it was gold everywhere. I have never seen so much money together in one single place. And at the end of the big hallway, a room bigger than this one, and in the center was the resting place of Ramses II. Then I had the opportunity to go to the pyramids. I thought that the pyramids was something nice in the sense that it was I realized that the pyramids are tombs. And when I got there, I was in complete shock when I saw the beauty and the splendor of the pyramids. In ancient Egypt, it was the custom that if you were elected king, immediately the next day, the city officials begin to build your tomb. And one of the pyramids, it took 20 years to build, and the other one took 36 years to build, and it took 20,000 men to build the pyramids. Astonishing place. It's one of the seven wonders of the world. Then we had the opportunity to travel to Israel. And when I got to Israel, I went to the tomb of Jesus. Laid a hole on the wall. It was not even his. He borrowed for only 3 days. And I remember someone was coming to the tomb, and I don't know what was their expectation. I thought that they were, imagine if you come from Egypt and you see all these great tombs, and then you travel to Israel to see the tomb of Jesus, you realize, man, we had to do a better job on that tomb. Now, remember a couple of guys came into the tomb, and as they were coming in, they were kind of disappointed. Says, I cannot believe that I spent 30 minutes in line to see a little hole in the wall. Couldn't hold myself. Says, be careful. Because what makes that tomb powerful is that it's empty. The pyramids are the seven wonders of the world, but the tomb of Jesus is the seven wonders of the heavenly realms. And I want to preach to you for a few moments about the power of the resurrection. Easter Sunday is not about Easter Bunny. Can I have an amen at least? And I know you're getting hungry. I mean, if you talk back to me, I preach better. I promise you. Now, I'm not here criticizing what you do, but the bottom line is this. Easter Sunday is not about Easter Bunny. Amen. It's not about collecting eggs. Easter Sunday is about a risen Savior that came, He died, He resurrected, and He had promised that He will come again. And He said, behold, I am coming quickly. In fact, Easter Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is the foundation of Christianity. Paul put it this way, and if you have your Bible, you can see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14, says, as if Christ have not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. I love Paul because he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes Christians, when they're driving, yeah, I remember when I was I did not have quiet experience with the Lord, and I remember I was driving with my windows down, and I used to put the music very loud. Well, I still do. But every time that I was driving and I was getting close to a stop, I lowered it down. Because I was ashamed to tell the world that I was, that I am a Christian. Now I don't care. Because there is nothing to be ashamed of the gospel, because you serve a God that is well and alive and is coming soon, and He is the hope of for humanity. So if you are physical able with me, turn with me as we open the Word of God. Can you stand with me? And I'm going to be reading from Luke chapter 24, verse 13, and so on. Now behold, two of them were traveling the same day to the village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together as they, all of this thing that just had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus Himself drew near to them, but He kept them from recognizing them. And He said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you're having with one another? And why you walk so sad? Then one of those disciples, whose name is Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one stranger? Have you have not known the things that just had happened these days?" And then he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning of Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, a mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests, our ruler, delivered him to condemn to death and crucify him." And here is the part that I want to preach to you. "But we had hope that he would be the one who was going to set Israel free." Can you repeat it with me this morning? We had hope. May the Lord add to the word and the blessings. You may be seated. Here is the journey to Emmaus. And I want to begin by telling you that the journey to Emmaus is not just a physical or geographical spot in the map. Emmaus is where life takes you. Sometimes you will find yourself walking that road, whether you like it or not, because the Bible says that the days are evil. And Emmaus is the place where you feel lost, abandoned, hurt, when you feel discouraged. It's a place where unforeseen twists and turns lead you to lose hope and have this same conclusion that those two disciples had. We had hope. Emmaus is that road that you take in the hospital when you visit your kid that have cancer, and you don't suppose, I mean, the natural thing is that kids bury their parents, not the other way around. Emmaus is when you see your marriage falling apart, and now you have a divorce paper in front of you, and you said, "I had hope that this marriage will last." Emmaus is this room that you go and walk alongside, and you see your parents' health deteriorating, and you said, "I had hope that they last a little longer." Emmaus is when you go to the doctor and they give you, and you visit five different doctors and they give you the same diagnosis. But it is in this road that the risen Savior will come in. Amen. I remember this quote. I did not say in this first service, but you know, God put things in your mind, and I want to share this quote that make me tremble every time that I share it with people. Listen to it. It is in our own crucible, our own personal crucible of our own personal suffering, where our marvelous dreams are born and our greatest gifts are given by God in compensation for what we have been through. It is in your road to Emmaus where God put a dream in your life. And then he gave you his greatest gift, which is Jesus Christ. In compensation to what you have been through. The road to Emmaus is something that we cannot avoid. But also we cannot avoid the reality that Jesus always will come to you to your road to Emmaus. And Jesus is the solution for every question and have all the answer for every problem that you have in the road to Emmaus. You know, in Christianity, we can debate many things. We can debate if we talk in tongues or not. We can debate if we should have communion on the first Sunday or the second Sunday or the third Sunday. We can debate whether women can wear pants and have some makeup. Some folks say that it's a sin for a woman to wear makeup. In church, I would say that it's a sin for son not to. But one thing that is not debatable, is that Jesus died and he rose again. Yeah. Can I have an amen? But yet the very foundation of Christianity is astonishing to me to know that, and it was very ironic to me to know that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was the most difficult thing for believers, for the disciples to believe. They saw Jesus walking on water. They saw Jesus turn water into wine. They even saw Jesus raising people from the dead. But yet, when it came to Jesus' resurrection, they questioned it. They doubted. Even to Andrew had to appear to them and said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." And let me tell you something. Sometimes we look for Jesus among the dead, and you are struggling with something that is dead, and God is saying, "Why you keep struggling with that? Why are you going that road? Do you know that Jesus is alive and well, and he is risen?" And the road to Emmaus, what encouraged me about this passage is that the road to Emmaus, we don't have to make it alone. Jesus will come along your side. Now, here is the good news. The good news, and I will argue with you that the only reason why Jesus came to the road to Emmaus is because he had one thing in his mind only, and it was to resurrect hope. If you listen to their conversation, you will understand and you will see quickly how they lost hope in the resurrection. We had hope that he was the one that would deliver Israel. Now, the Lord is here today because he wanted to resurrect some folks' hope. And I hope if you came over here and you have something that had died on you, I hope the Lord resurrect that hope in you, because greater is he that lives in us than the one that is in the world, folks. Now, let me cut to the chase and go to the 3 points that I have, and I will finish. In order to understand how to have hope, you have to understand first how hope dies. And the question is how hope dies. Well, number one, hope dies when you remove yourself from the presence of the body of Christ. Amen. I'll let that sink in. Hope always dies when you decide, "I'm not coming to church anymore." See, these two disciples were in the way to Emmaus, but what is so interesting is the problem with that, those disciples, is that the upper room is in Jerusalem. The disciples were worshiping in Jerusalem. God told the disciple, "Stay there until you see me." But they decided not to stay. So they left the place where the disciples are in worship, waiting for the Lord, and they walk away from the presence of the body of Christ. And let me tell you, folks, let me tell you, young people, the worst thing that you could ever do in your life, when life hit your heart, when you don't see God's answering your prayer, is that you walk away from Jesus and you walk away from the body of Christ. There is no time to stay at home when life hit you. There is no time to delay your faith when it's being challenged. You have to find your way to the church and press on. When you don't want to, it's when you most need it. They left the body of Christ. And let me tell you what is the problem with leaving the body of Christ. When you leave the body of Christ, listen to this. These two disciples, they are not encouraging their hope and their faith. Instead, they are fertilizing their hopelessness. They are feeding into their negativity. And they are sowing into their pessimism. Every time you leave the body of Christ, believe me, Satan will expose you to people that will feed exactly what you're going through. And there is a powerful quote that goes like this. By beholding, you become changed. They all were talking about how bad things were and how ugly it got and how I was so disappointed. Because when you leave the body of Christ, you avail to yourself to voices that don't encourage your hope. Now, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, if you read it with me, it says, do not forsake the assemblies of the brethren. Let us not give up in meeting together as some are in the habit. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let me tell you something, folks. Things are not going to get better in this earth. It's going to get worse. And the only thing that will sustain you when things get worse is the body of Christ, because the body of Christ is the edification of each one of us. See, that's why I love the Tapestry Church, because when I worship with you guys are building me up. You guys are making me go back to my church and be a better Christian. That's the beauty of worshiping in the body of Christ. Exhorting one another. They stopped coming to church, and I probably know why. Can I be real with you guys? Will you allow me to be real with you? I think they left church. And listen, young people, let me say this. We, a statistic in our own church, reveal that people, the young people, are leaving the church not because they don't believe what we teach. They leave church because they have been hurt by those that were supposed to love them. And I can see why those disciples left church. Because they realized that the disciples can be difficult. The saying can be messy. Can I have an amen on that? Oh, come on. Don't try to be holy than thou. You know that you are messy. And we can be messy. Church can be some kind of ugly sometimes. Yes or not? I mean, I'm visiting pastor and I see the beauty of the church. But when you are in leadership, you know how messy it could be. You ain't seen nasty until you see church nasty. Mercy. You have not seen ugly until you see sanctify ugly. And you have not been hurt until you have been hurt by someone in church. Let me open a parenthesis over here to say, I'm not here in church because of anybody. I'm here because I love the Lord. But I can tell you, I come from a third generation of pastors. My grandfather was a pastor. My dad is a pastor. I'm a pastor. And I can tell you, church can treat you insanely bad. And I'm not trying to scare those that are visiting for the first time. Pastor Gary is trying to build the church, and I'm here trying to encourage you not to come to his church. What's wrong with that, Pastor? I mean, come on. That's not why you got me here. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something that is very true. Even when church can be difficult, is the best place that you could ever be to encourage your hope. Let me prove it to you. When I come to preach to you, or when Pastor Gary preaches to you, and he said, how many of you have been blessed by the Lord? Let me see your hand if you have been blessed by the Lord. See, you can be difficult, and you can be nasty, and you can be had a bad attitude. But when preacher said, how many of you have been blessed by God this week? We are not looking for fake praise. When we say, if there is anyone here that has been delivered from the Lord, and you know that only God has done that, we are not looking for fake praise. We are trying to encourage your praise, your hope, because when you see, if God can bless someone with an ugly attitude and a bad attitude, and if God can bless someone that upset you in church, if he does it for them, surely he can do it for me. So even bad people, even people when they treat you bad in church, there is a best place to encourage your hope. Don't you ever leave the body of Christ. Number two. At 3 point, number two. Your hope dies when you refuse to wait on the power of the resurrection of Christ. You know what I found so amazing about this story is that they left on the third day. They left on the third day. Oh, come on, that's not the day to leave. Jesus told them, hey, guys, listen. By the way, when Jesus told the disciples that he would die, they went bananas. I mean, they did not assimilate that. They tried to, Jesus had to even back down and say, wait a minute, let me not go into detail. But Jesus told them specifically, I will die on Friday. I will be on the tomb on Saturday. But you stay in Jerusalem because I'm coming out on Sunday morning. And I tell you one thing, folks, that's not the day you want to quit. Can I have an amen? Amen. And you may have some things that are dead on Friday. Follow what I'm saying to you. That are in the tomb on Saturday. But folks, Sunday is coming, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is as real as it could be. And he needs you to understand that on Sunday, that's the day you don't quit. Now, can I go a little deeper? You can trust every promise because the resurrection is the foundation to which every promise is made valid. No promise have no validity if Jesus Christ wouldn't resurrect it from the grave. When someone promised you something, you have to take into account two things, ability and willingness. Now, some people are able but not willing. And some people are willing but not able. Let me explain what I mean by that. If you tell me, Pastor, after the service, can you give me a ride home? I am able because I have a car. But if you tell me, Pastor, I live 5 hours away from here, baby, you are by your own because I would not take you. I'm not willing. On the flip side, if I said to you, if someone come to me and said, Pastor, my daughter will have a surgery, and I know you, and we are friends, and I need $100,000 to cover the surgery, and that surgery is what will make her live or die, I am willing, but not able. You follow what I'm saying? Because I don't have that kind of money. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, number one, confirm one thing. God is willing, because if God was willing to sacrifice his son for such a wretched sinner like me, he's willing. But he's also able, because Jesus resurrected from the grave. And if God is willing, and if God is able, and that is proven in the resurrection, why in the world these two disciples left on the third day? And the simple answer for that is that they suffer from what every one of us suffer. We hate waiting. Our world has conditioned us that if you wait, there is something wrong with you. You with me? Just a minute. We don't want to wait on God, and our hope will always die if we don't learn to have the patience of the saint. Learn how to wait on God. There is two texts that I want to mention real quickly. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 15 said, and so, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. Those who wait on the Lord will certainly receive the promise. Isaiah 40, verse 31, one of the most amazing texts in the Bible, says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. God is here to tell you that if you wait on the Lord, you will not waste your time. Amen. I was visiting Mexico with a friend of mine, and for the first time in many years, well, that was my first time, I called for an Uber to come and pick me up. And I was very offended by one of the notifications that they send me, because it says in the notification, they said the driver have arrived and he will wait for 5 minutes and then he will leave. And that kind of offended me. I mean, come on, you're gonna wait only 5 minutes for me? Now, I want you to understand this, and I get it, and I get it why they have to do it that way, but I want you to see something. You responded to my call because you want to make a living. You came to pick me up at my house. You know who I am because the photo shows exactly who you are. You knew my name, you know who I am, and you know that I have the money to give you what you need. And you are telling me that you're going to wait only 5 minutes? Now, let's inverse this a little. When you come to God, you know who God is. You know he's out there. And you know he got what you need. And I will ask you, how long have you given God before you quit on him and walk away from him? Maybe somebody today will need to hear this old song that says, that goes like this. You can't hurry God. You have to wait. You have to trust Him and give Him the time, no matter how long it takes. He is a God that you cannot hurry. He may not come when you want Him, but you will want Him when He comes. We need to learn to wait on the Lord, trust in the Lord. He always will come. In order for hope to be resurrected, you need to connect to a body of Christ. In order for hope to be resurrected, you need to wait patiently on the Lord. And let me tell you something, sometimes patiently, it takes a whole life. Number three, and with this I'm finished. Hope will always die when you fail to remember His word. That's why when they were talking with Jesus, these two disciples, in their pessimism, Jesus stopped them on their way and said, let me take you to a Bible study. And beginning from Moses, through all the prophets, He began to teach them and encouraging their hope with everything that is recorded in the Word of God that speak concerning to Himself. If you ever wondering why Jesus didn't allow them to see them right away, I think Jesus did not show Himself right away to them because otherwise He would have crippled them for life. Because He did not want the disciples to be in a setting of a microwave environment, in a fast food kind of religion. He wanted them to abide in the promises of His word. And that's why you can watch a movie all night long and not fall asleep. But if you read the Bible, you will fall asleep. I remember one member of mine, she went to the doctor, she had insomnia, she cannot sleep. And she was taking medicine, and she came to prayer meeting one time and said, Pastor, I need prayer, I cannot sleep at night. And I said, Sister, I have the solution for you. Said, when it is time to go to bed, just start reading the Bible. The next prayer meeting, she followed, and she said, this is the pastor, that's the recommendation of the pastor, so I have to follow what he said. So she went back, and obediently, she started reading the Bible. 5 minutes later, she was asleep. She came next prayer meeting and said, Pastor, a miracle had happened. I was able to rest. I was able to sleep. And I said, I told you so. The reason why you go to sleep when you read the Bible is there is something powerful in the Word of God that will encourage your hope. And He knows about it. Psalm 135. I jump one slide, so. 130 verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord, my whole being wait, and His word, in His word I put my hope. That is why it's so important, young people, to read your Bible. Because time will come when the only thing that will sustain you in your crisis is the Word of God. And if you don't know that that is coming, keep living. Now let me finish with this. Billy Graham was very old. He was in his deathbed. And his son, which is a fantastic minister, came to him and he said, "Dad, your ministry has been amazing. And if you have followed Billy Graham, you will see that God used him in a mighty way. In a mighty way." He said, "Son, don't think the road was easy." He said, "Dad, I don't know if I can be you." He said, "Don't be me. Because the power of Billy Graham was not in him." You know why Billy Graham was so powerful? And why I love that old preacher so much? Because he was a man of the word. Oh, he can quote scripture. And this is what he said to his son before he died. "The word of God, my son, is the antidote against our hopelessness. When you get fatigued and in a dark place in this world and overwhelmed by the uncertainty of life, just remember, the word of God is a light to your path, to your feet, that will take you to a safe place. The darkness will disappear when the hopeless sinner comes to the word of God, because his word never leads us into despair. The darkest sinner, have you ever experienced a moment in your life that you don't know what is up or down? Have you ever been in a dark room when you don't know how you're going to make it? And you feel hopeless? It is in that time, if you open the word of God never will lead you to despair. Only the word of God can resurrect your hope." Now let me finish with this illustration. The other day I was looking at an experiment that some scientists did. They called the experiment the Hope Experiment, where scientists drop a rat into a yard of water. And place that rat in the yard full of water in a dark room. And they time to see how long the animal will continue to swim before it give up and allow itself to drown. They found out that the rat usually lasted less than 3 minutes. Then they drop another rat in the same container, another container. But this time they place the rat not in darkness, but in a place which was well illuminated. And for their surprise, they saw that the rat swim for 36 hours straight. That was more than 700 times longer than the one in the darkness. And this is the conclusion they got. The rat was able to last that long because the rat could see the light and continue to have hope. We are not rats. And we are not in some any kinds of cosmic experiment by God. We are the crown jewelry of His creation. But it's if a little animal was able to last that long, sustained it by the light, if we wouldn't open the Word of God, it's a path and a light to my feet. We lead you to Christ Jesus. I promise you, you will not last in church 3 minutes. You will last in church until He comes back. Three simple things. Find a family. Find a good family. Now, do not look for a perfect family. You will not find it. Because the day you go into a family that is perfect, you will mess it up because you are the problem. Find a good family of faith. Stick to each other. Embrace each other in the journey of discovering the beauty of salvation. And yes, wait on the Lord. Wait. Things will not work the way you want it always. You know, I hate preachers that when they preach, they use their emotion to entertain. They play with people's feeling, and they said, if you are faithful to God, God will protect you. Let me tell you something. God may choose not to protect you sometime. In His will, you may not understand it now, but in His will, when He explained all the questions that you don't have answered today, you will understand that He was a sovereign God. I remember this parent that was praying for the baby that was dying in the hospital bed. I said, God, you have the power. But God chose not to save that boy. And He said to me, I don't know if I have in me the ability to wait. And when I feel discouraged and I open the Word of God, it's like God, fill me with energy. And when I feel overwhelmed, I go to someone, I say, will you pray for me? Family of God, will you pray for me? I'm falling apart. And then they start sharing testimony to one another. And the power of God begins to move in such a powerful way, encourage their hope. This is the beauty. I am here today because I want to encourage your hope. Not because I can provide you hope, because I know a risen Savior that can provide that for you today. If there is anyone here today that would love to come forward and say, Lord, will you encourage my hope? Is anyone here? Will you want to come forward with me? I want to have a prayer with you. Pastor Gary will pray for us. Do you need encouragement? It's not about understanding theologically that God exists is understanding that He's real. And what I love about Easton, that it doesn't talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ only. It talks about God resurrecting every single thing that you hope for and you don't got it. Who is the first person that want to come with me over here? I promise you, I will not buy you. Praise the Lord. People tell me one time, why you do altar call? That is so inadequate. That they don't do that anymore in churches. I tell you one thing. If Jesus came down to heaven, that was very inadequate. But if He did it, you know why He did it? Because He loved you. I want to encourage you hope today, my friend. There is anyone else? Anyone else? Come on, don't hesitate. I see some people leaning forward. I promise you, I will not buy you. This is not a dedication to anything strange. We are praying for God to encourage you hope in that resurrection. Praise the Lord. Like this young man was baptized today. But in his early age, he understand that the road is a long road and he will need some encouragement on the way. Do you have in your heart any silent prayer? Can I see your hands if you have any silent prayers that you need God to answer and encourage your hope? Praise the Lord. There is a song that we sing. What was the song we sang? I had decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Stand with me.
To follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
With this, I visited my last church the other day, the church that I came from. And when I went to the church, I saw new faces. But there was one thing that I did not see, and it was the old faces. And we go through the process of recycling people. You know, if every believer that we have been baptized in the following Jesus would have been in church, Tapestry Church, Seventh-day Adventist Church, would not have room to fill them out. But you know what we're doing? We're recycling. Statistics show that we are losing more people than getting people in church. If you follow those three things that I told you, you will endure to the end and you will see your risen Savior. Let's pray. Father, I'm going to pray, and Pastor Gary will pray in a minute. I pray that Jesus Christ be real to us. The same Savior that came as a baby, did a few miracles, grew up and did a few miracles, died, resurrected, is the same Savior that is coming again. And we are looking forward to that beautiful day when we will see you face to face. But Lord, we don't have to wait until that day, because you can be real to us today. You are close to us. So in a special way, I ask you, Lord, to bless this congregation, to bless every single family that is here. May the hope of the resurrection happen for them every single day. And every day that they get up in the morning, they can say, thank you, Jesus, because you are alive and well. Pastor Gary, will you bless this congregation as well?
Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. Thank you for the hope we derive from that empty tomb. Lord, I pray for those who are here this morning whose hope is forlorn, those who are discouraged, those who believed that because they trusted you and they committed their lives to you, that things would work out, and they haven't. Lord, I pray for everyone here who's on a road to Emmaus somewhere. And God, I pray that just as you did in this story, that you would come alongside them, that you would embrace them, that you would patiently, lovingly listen to their story. You would identify with their pain. You would sit down and sup with them, that you would have fellowship with them and encourage them, God. And then, as you did for these disciples, would you speak a word of deliverance, open their eyes to see the hope that you bring. God, thanks for this morning. Thank you for Pastor Jorge, for Elena, for their whole family. Thank you for this church and all that this day represents to us. We are grateful to you in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. Folks, I think there's still some bounce houses outside if you want to go do a hop. Otherwise, have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, everyone.